I just brought up Jurassic World. I'll be brief.
That's fine.
Because
you talk however long you want about that movie.
Oh, because I just really enjoyed that you brought it up last episode.
And then I also saw two single syllable movies done by two interesting and thematic directors. Men by Alex Garland and Nope.
You saw Nope?
Cheated.
I really thought you were going to be the only one who's going to see it with me.
I'll see it again, dude.
I guess we can just like throw it back and forth. Like,
since sure, this is yeah.
The new format.
Yeah.
I don't know what the theme music is. Just pretend it's playing.
Do the card shuffle.
Yeah, it'll come in. It'll be in post.
Yeah, post-production magic. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Above the Board with Josh
and Phil,
where we stay above the board with Josh
and Phil.
I always get excited for you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you.
Anyway, we are doing something a little new tonight, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're not going to do the usual format. We are going
it's
to...
It's the same, but different. Because stick around. It's still good.
It's also not the same usual format.
Okay, fine.
So instead of lubricating our board game playing with what fuels our geek hearts, we're going to do two separate episodes for you. One where we play said board game of the episode, and then one where we talk about what is fueling our geek hearts so that we can have a more... intimate chat. You know, we're not distracted by the moving pieces on the board.
Finally able to free ourselves from lubrication.
Yeah. Lubricant is put back in the jar.
We're going to have a fun night, everyone.
Yeah.
A fun whenever you're listening.
This is above the board. We're keeping above the board.
So welcome to part one called What You Geeking On?
What You Geeking On? Phil, what are you geeking
on? Well, Jurassic World, specifically. Because episode, you told me not to watch it because it's bad.
I did.
So not only did I ignore your advice, I paid extra money to get the pop-up book version.
What?
3D.
Oh.
Pop-up book version.
What are you talking about?
Dude. So I paid extra money for the pop-up book version of Jurassic World Dominion. And
a fun way to explain that.
I swore off 3D movies because I saw Avatar in 3D and I was like, holy cow, 3D movies are where it's at. And then every other movie is like some weird after effect that looks like a pop-up book.
Yeah.
And I just haven't done it in 10 years. Because it was like a spur of the moment. My wife's like, let's go to the movies. And so I was like, fine, I'll see whatever. And she wanted to see Jurassic World. I said, Josh said it's bad. She's like, I don't care. That's the only one I want to see. We get there and they're like, this dog is going to play with a squeaky toy the whole time we're talking?
Yeah, of course. We're worried about residual coughing from my recovery.
This is the only squeaker, right? Okay.
Thank you, production assistant.
Yeah. Where were we? Okay, so I saw 3D movie for the first time in forever, and they look so bad. They're so dumb and how 3D movies are done.
I don't remember the last 3D movie
I
saw.
It's such a waste of money.
Maybe Avengers,
it's
the
like
first one.
It's like you're paying extra money to make your movie worse.
Yeah,
that's
my
opinion.
You're paying to get
3D.
A migraine. For me.
So, anyways, overall, 3D effects probably didn't add anything. But you were just like 100% right. The fact that the villain was these locusts or whatever instead of a dinosaur made it insane to me. Because, like, the setting of dinosaurs living among humans is really interesting.
Yeah.
But it's completely irrelevant to the story.
Yeah. It's just like a side note. Like, oh, by the way.
Yeah. And at the very end, when he's, like, apologizing to Blue, and Blue, like, runs off in that raptor run, like, the 3D effect, because it's, like, changing 3D layers.
Yeah.
And it just, like, remind me of Napoleon Dynamite running away. Because it, like, pops up, and it's, like, burp, 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 burp. So weird. The 3D made it worse. My last hot take is, you want to know what's wrong with wokeness in movies?
This is dangerous. Go ahead.
Anytime there's like a strong black female character, you know she's a good guy. Like immediately.
Yeah.
I was like, she's working with the bad guys, but she's definitely going to help.
Even though they're like, we're going to make her like morally questionable. We're going to give her like a gruff, like.
For 2 seconds.
Street rat attitude, you know? And well, yeah, no, not long. In the beginning, when she's like in the black market area and she sees the girl or whatever, she's like, and then all of a sudden she's like the hero.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And The other strong black character was a good guy. And the dialogue was so bad, I didn't realize they were trying to tell me he's a good guy. When he's like, oh, there's 30 minutes left of the tour. I'll let you guys stay by yourself and meet you by that elevator. But not that elevator, because it leads to our secret tech and you need a special key to get in. See ya. And I was like, that's the dumbest thing anyone's ever said.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
It's just because he was helping.
I love that actor.
He was good. Like, it's just like the dialogue was bad. Yeah. Like, everyone was great delivering their terrible lines.
And, like, there's a note of nostalgia to have the OG three back together.
Yes.
Which is fun.
But again, it's like, you didn't even need the new people, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a super sidelined MacGuffin-y plot.
Like, so in Jurassic World 1, Chris Pratt obviously has a lot of standout moments as a character in that movie. And then even in Fallen Kingdom, a lot of people give it guff.
Yeah.
And I get it. I understand the complaints. But even in Fallen Kingdom, there's like a lot of Chris Pratt moments where like he gets cool action hero moments.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you a single one in this movie.
That's true. Because the closest was when they were on the ice, but he just like fell in. He was just literally along for the ride.
Yeah.
Like the whole movie.
I mean, Bryce Dallas Howard had more like intense / hero moments, which is fine. I don't care that she did. But like, it's just funny to me that like the newer heroes are completely sidelined.
Oh, yeah.
For like the weird locust. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, because it 100% could have been some other movie that was repurposed to be Jurassic World.
Dr. Wu, like that character was completely irrelevant and unnecessary in this movie.
I know, it was just like forced closing of a character arc from the other two movies. And it wasn't a good character arc. Anyways, that's all I had to say. Just that you gave me good advice and I ignored it and made it worse.
Well, I'm sorry.
So, Josh?
I tried to warn you.
Josh, what are you geeking on?
Well, I did see Thor, Love and Thunder, or as you so expertly put, Love and Thunder.
Love and Thunder.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Actually, I took Sadie to see it, and it's very good. I mean, it's not as good as Ragnarok. Ragnarok is kind of like the crown jewel in the four Thor movies, you know? Everyone says that Ragnarok is like the best, and I agree. I think it is the best. It's the strongest. But Love and Thunder is a close second. It does a good job at maintaining that Taika Waititi tone, that like comedic but kind of heartfelt tone, you know? Yeah. It is a super wholesome movie. I know when the plot details were first talked about, and it had Gore from the comics, Gore the God Butcher, where his character is introduced in the comics, where it's super dark and it's not wholesome at all. It's troubling. It's not a whole lot of like hope, I guess, for the Thor continuity in the comics. So when he was talked about being in the movie, I was like, oh, I wonder if this is going to be like the Empire Strikes Back of the Taika Waititi Thor movies. You know what I mean? And I mean, like, I'm sure there will eventually be a fifth one at some point, whether or not Chris Hemsworth is the titular character or not. Like, ooh. I mean, But it was very good. It's super wholesome. A lot of cool action in it, obviously. A lot of cool character moments. It was great to see Jane back and handled well. Like, instead of, like, kind of thrown to the side and never talked about like she was in Ragnarok. But, like, yeah, she has a pretty cool character arc in this movie. It's cool to see her as Mighty Thor. Valkyrie's awesome. A lot of cool Easter eggs, too, when they're, like, in the God City. I mean, they call it, like, Omnipotent City or something like that.
Okay.
It's like where all the different gods in the MCU, they hang out there. It's, like, where they chill. And there's, like, tons of nods to not just comic book storylines and characters, but like you see nods to previous, like you see Egyptian gods that could be from Moon Knight, stuff from Black Panther, stuff from Shang-Chi. It's just really cool. And then Russell Crowe as Zeus was perfect casting, I think.
Yes. I saw an interesting article that said Taika Waititi was doing it and Russell Crowe wanted to use a Greek accent. And Taika Waititi is like, no, gotta do like the classic British accent from the old movies.
Yeah, no, he did this.
And so they shot each scene both ways.
Twice, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they ended up doing the Greek one.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Like, it's not a good one, but that's what makes it so great, because it's, like, clearly not a good accent. Like, it's just, like, very hokey and, but self-aware. And it's just Russell Crowe being silly. Actually, any A-list actor that's, like, known for, like, serious dramatic roles, whenever they're getting the chance to, like, cut loose and be weird and silly on camera, I'm all for it, man. But anyway, yeah, Thor Love and Thunder is very, very good. Enjoyed it quite a bit. Excited to see what's next for the Thor franchise, which is funny because, like, the comics, I don't really care about Thor. Like, I like Beta Ray Bill. It's the horse Thor. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
He's like this alien that looks like a horse.
Does it look like a horse, or is he like a horse.
No, or, he looks like a horse.
Like he could blend in with horses.
He could not blend in with horses. Because if you were out in a field and you saw this dude, you'd be like, that's not a horse. I don't know what that is.
I was thinking it was like the alligator Loki.
No, no. He's got like there is Frog Thor. And they call him Throg. It's like kind of like a one-off, like, what-if type scenario, I think. And then his, like, character got popular and he ended up having his own series. It's not Thor. Like, it's like a random dude. Like, it's a human that gets the powers of Thor after being turned into a frog.
It's so many layers.
But yeah, Beta Ray Bill in the Thor comics, I guess he's also in the Guardians. He's just, like, one of those cosmic, like, space characters. It's like super cool. He's always been one of my favorites, and they keep hinting at him in the MCU, so I'm sure we'll see him eventually. But what about you? What else are you geeking on, Phil?
Moss. It's a VR game. I played on the Oculus.
Yeah.
Have you checked it out at all?
I have it on PlayStation VR.
Have you played it?
No.
Bro, dude, it is like the Legend of Zelda of VR.
Really?
Yeah. For real. There's like a mouse character. And you kind of use the joystick to control it, like a Zelda. And, like, most of this is, like, navigation puzzles. And then you power up your weapon, and you can, like, shoot it and hit crystals to move blocks. Like, very Zelda navigational puzzles. Yeah. I mean, like, the main difference is you can jump.
You don't have to, like, run to the edge or something?
You kind of do, but you hit jump.
Oh.
Like a platformer. Okay. But, like, the cool twist is it's got, like, this never-ending story vibe where, like, they're like, the reader is with you. And it's, like, supposed to be, like, a book. And so you use the Oculus VR, and you can interact with objects. And so you, like, pull and move, and you can, like, stun enemies, and then you run over and fight it with the mouse or whatever.
Interesting.
And it's, like, really beautiful looking, and it's kind of neat. It, like, really executes on its premise. And like I said, it's basically a Legend of Zelda game. But like with a meaningful VR twist, and it's really good. And Moss 2 just came out. When you finish it, it's like to be continued. Book 2 just came out.
Ooh,
so
it's pretty cool.
I'm pretty pumped there.
Definitely. I've been since everything's getting delayed. I've been playing, you know, old games in my backlog. I actually recently got hooked onto platinum things on things on PlayStation, like getting all the trophies.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I did it for Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. I mean, it's super easy to do. But then also, I'm replaying Ghost of Tsushima, or Tsushimi, or whatever, the samurai game that came out 2 years ago, I believe. An expansion for it came out last year, and then it also got upgraded to PlayStation 5. So, I have the PS5 version of the game, and you can transfer everything over so it's, you know, you don't have to start over.
Oh, nice.
But to be honest with you, when I went to go play it, I was like, I don't remember any of the story. It's one of those things.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Where it's been like at least a year since I played the game. I don't know who this character is. I don't know what this mission is. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing.
And is it like an action game?
Yeah.
Those make me mad too, because it's like combos you should master at that point in the game.
Yeah.
Like, you forgot.
Yeah, exactly. Or like you forget that you even have a skill unless you look at the skill tree and you're like, oh, yeah, I can do that sweet dodge parry move or whatever. But yeah, so I just started it over and I forgot how good that game is. PlayStation does a good job at making their single player games like worth the time. You know what I mean?
Well, that sounds cool. What else are you geeking on?
So I saw Alex Garland's new movie, Men. Alex Garland did Annihilation and Ex Machina.
Oh, okay. Two movies I want to see and haven't seen yet.
You've not seen Annihilation?
I haven't.
Dude, like, so it's good. It's really good, and it's definitely worth watching. It's the one movie in the past probably, it's like 10 years, that legitimately gave me nightmares.
Oh, nice.
Like, for real. And it was one of those things where I didn't think it would give me a nightmare. Like, I was definitely uncomfortable by one scene in particular. Did not care for it. Wanted to fast forward. But I stuck through it, you know? And then that night, I had a nightmare about it. And ever since, I'm like, I don't necessarily want to watch this movie again because I don't want to, like, revisit that nightmare.
Yeah.
But anyway, very good. Ex Machina is also very good. But anyway, so Men just came out earlier this year. Not as good as the other two.
Oh.
But it's okay. It's fine.
The old junior slump.
Yeah, I guess. It's like one of those movies, though, where it's super on the nose about what it's trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. The premise is like the main character, her husband has committed suicide and she's trying to move on. And like she moves into this kind of like a country farmhouse in England. Everyone in the little village that she moves into is played by the same dude. So like they're implying that like all men are the same.
Oh, okay.
And like they set up to where like at first, like, you know, he's helpful and like, let me help you get situated, you know, not hitting on her, but just being like a good person. And then it like it slowly.
How does it establish that they're different characters?
Because they're in different, she'll see them in different like settings or different, like just different scenes. Oh, where they act differently. Like there's one guy who's like the vicar.
Sure.
And he's like super helpful at first and like, you know, wants to know her backstory to like help her kind of process her grief and all that stuff, but he's not inappropriate. He's just like super like, let me help you get over this trauma that you're going through, right? Then there's like a guy that she meets that's just like a harmless, like kind of like handyman type guy. But then there's also, really weirdly, there's like a little boy in the village that has that actor's face on his body. That like he's like, let's play hide and seek. And she's like, oh, no, thank you. And he's
like, so you think of Shinmu where you talk to those kids, they're like, hey, wanna wrestle?
I oddly enough know what you're talking about.
Dude, favorite game of all time.
It's really weird. Because, like, she says no thank you, and he's like, all right, you know, B-word, and, like, gets mad. And she's like, oh, geez, okay. So basically, the movie sets up that, like, toxic masculinity is the systemic problem in society, which it is, obviously. I don't know how to put this.
Yeah, that's like, one of those things where it's, like, a blanket statement, like, toxic masculinity is the systemic problem with all society. It's just like too broad to really address any real issue.
And like, you know? It's a shame because like there's a lot of creepy moments in the movie that are done really, really well. You know, they could like could have made the movie even better if they had kind of, I don't know, maybe delve more into like the creep factor versus like a political statement horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a scene, if you ever watch the trailer, there's a scene where she's like going through like one of those like country bridges, like underneath of it. Her echo sounds weird, so she starts like making like singing these like random notes, and it sounds really cool and it's like pretty. And then there's like a dude on the other side of the bridge that's like in he's silhouetted, and he just screams at her and like starts running at her. And it's, and like the scream like echoes like crazy through the little breezeway that they're in, and it's super unsettling and creepy. But I mean, like that's like the moment that you're like, oh, this is going to be a good, scary movie. And then it just goes off the rails with its political stuff. And then the climax of the movie, not to give anything away, the climax is the most bananas climax I've ever seen in a horror movie. Ever. Maybe. I don't know. Ever. But it's up there. And like just a lot of weird body horror, too.
Ugh.
I'm just going to say it's not very tasteful. Like, I don't know, as a huge horror movie fan, like, there's a tasteful way to do body horror, like Cronenberg. Like, it's an art form, like The Fly.
Oh, gotcha.
It's like, it's gross, but it's, like, that's what he's known for. It's
tastefully like, gross.
Yeah. Don't eat while you watch it, but, you know. And then there's just, like, gross to be gross, like Saw or Hostel. Which, I mean, those movies are fine, but those body horror movies, are that's just, you know, shock value versus art. What about you, Phil? What else? We got a few other things to talk about.
Convince me not to see that movie.
Yeah, don't. You will. Dude, if you don't listen to me about, you obviously didn't listen to me about Jurassic World, I am warning you now.
I shouldn't see it in 3D.
Not see men. You will be so, you'll be traumatized, dude. Like, I know you. And I know that you can't handle certain things. I'll have to rescue you. Like, I will get an SOS text.
It's like when I threw my back out, you have to drag me out of this theater because I can't walk.
Yes. See, it's not even in theaters anymore. It's streaming. I'll have to come to your house and just like turn the TV off for you. It's okay, Philip. Can't hurt you anymore.
Okay. What am I geeking on? I read the comic Superman American Alien, and it was surprisingly good. It's, I think, by Max Landis, who did Chronicle.
Oh, yeah.
I was reading about how Hollywood doesn't like him anymore or something, and they mentioned he did this comic, and I was like, I'm going to read it. Sweet. And it is really good. It's like a Superman origin story, but they do it as like kind of a coming-of-age story. Like, the first one takes place like when he's 10, and he's like figuring out his powers or whatever, and then they do one with him as a teenager, and he like crashes his plane into Bruce Wayne's like 16th birthday party or whatever. And it kind of like changes genres a little bit. And the next one, it's like he's in college as like an intern for the Daily Planet trying to cover these billionaires or whatever. These young billionaires, Oliver, Quinn, Lex Luthor, and Bruce Wayne are all like getting together to be the young billionaires or whatever. But because he crashed Bruce Wayne's party, Bruce Wayne never goes to his own parties. Everyone assumed he was Bruce Wayne. So he gets like invited up to hang out with the billionaires. Like, that's hilarious. It's amazing.
That sounds pretty good.
It's really good. And then there's like a final one where he like decides to be Superman. And they're all really good and interesting and have like all the little DC tie-in throwbacks and stuff.
Nice.
It was like really good.
I'm super
behind. It's like a strong recommend.
Super behind on comics, man. I know. I still got to read the ones that you lent me.
Like I gave you the Sixth Guns.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just lent you something else too.
Six Guns was the last thing you
was liked. It?
Yeah.
Maybe I was wanted to lend you something. And
yeah, we talked about it. And I said, let me read this first because I do remember that. But oh. I gotta read that. And I mean, it took me forever to read Bigfoot Bill or whatever.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
So good. Yeah.
I need the final one in that to come out.
But I mean, and I have Once in Future that I need to lend you.
Okay.
Which is about like the Knights of the Round Table.
Ooh.
But like being modernized. So like it's like Indiana Jones meets Excalibur, kind of.
I'm in. You got me.
Like there's the dude that's like his lineage is that he's related to King Arthur, but like it's so muddled that like, you know, as you can imagine, it's kind of like tracing the lineage to Jesus Christ, like in the Da Vinci Code kind of thing. You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like just super like, that's not possible.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But like, long story short, and without spoiling anything, because it is a very fascinating read, he inherits Excalibur, but because his bloodline is muddied, like, it is not an easy inheritance. And Excalibur being a magical sword that, like, is kind of like Mjolnir, like, it's more of, like, pure of soul, pure of heart kind of thing versus, like, strict bloodline, but the bloodline doesn't hurt, right? It kind of, like, messes with his ability to, like, actually handle the sword itself. But the reason why he needs the sword is because Morgana, the evil sorceress, is like bringing in, like, she's coming back, monsters and demons and
oh, fun.
All this other stuff is coming into like modern London. And then like he figures out that he has to basically find the descendants of the Knights of the Round Table to stop Morgana.
Neat.
So it's very good, and I'll lend it to you for sure.
That sounds cool.
You would like it.
Hey, what else are you geeking on?
So I was in quarantine, right? So I got the dreaded you know, everything that everyone doesn't like talk about, but
the mystery disease.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say
because no one knows what it is. Algorithm.
Yeah, but a friend of mine sent me a copy, a cheat copy of Nope.
I was wondering how you saw it without me.
Yeah,
when you weren't going to the theater.
That's why I'll see it again. Okay. I mean, like I loved it. I love it. It is, man, two thumbs way up. It is so good. I like it. Maybe it's because I'm a huge sci-fi nerd. I do like it better than Us. And maybe even a little bit better than Get Out. But I loved Get Out, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to say it's his best one. Because there's like some weird plot issues. But overall, it is a fun time. Like, it's just so good. And it's like not at all what you expect from the trailers.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I picked that up from some review I read. I didn't even read it, just kind of like headlines. I saw another trailer for it with Jurassic World, and I was kind of like, this is more than I wanted to see. I'm already pumped to see this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because, yeah, I had the same issue. Or, like, they showed a trailer for it in front of Thor.
Yeah.
And I tried to talk Sabian to see
it. See, nope.
Yeah. And you know her response was? Nope. Nope. Same. Not that I would take her anyway, because I'm pretty sure it's rated R. But anyway.
It is. Definitely with Emily when we were seeing Jurassic World. Like, that Nope trailer came out. I was like, see, that's what we could be watching. And she was like, nope.
Nope. Can't. Cannot. But no, dude, it is so good. I will definitely see it in theaters. I loved it. You have to understand that Jordan Peele is one of those statement directors.
Yeah.
And, like, Get Out and Us are very obvious. Like, one's about race, one's about class.
Sure.
This one's more about, like, I guess you could say, like, spectacle. Like, how people are obsessed with, like, you know, spectacle. Oh. So it's a super interesting way for him to kind of make his statement on that and like kind of satire it.
Interesting.
With his film being like a spectacle film in of itself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
dude, I love that meta commentary kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, you know, Keke Palmer and Daniel Kaluuya, the two lead characters, they're fantastic. They're so good.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name from Walking Dead? Steven Yeun.
Yeah.
He's very good in it too.
He's a good actor for sure.
But yeah, I can't say enough good things about it. And I can't wait for you to see it. Cause like, it's also one of those movies where I can sit here and tell you a lot about it, but there's too much that I could potentially spoil.
Oh, yeah, 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 don't.
And there's like, this is one of those movies that legitimately, if you go in blind, as blind as you can be, you're going to enjoy it a lot more.
I feel like it is a movie where it'll be more fun to be surprised the first time.
For sure. Very good movie. Definitely worth it. Two thumbs up for anyone out there who was curious. Definitely see it more than once if you can.
You will.
I will. I might even see it more than twice.
Maybe I'm watching it right now.
Maybe. Who knows? Phil, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
I did. This Doncaster has been on my list for a while. And every time I bring it up, you're like, what is Doncaster?
What is Doncaster?
It is the mobile deck building RPG. I found it on the Play Store on my phone. It was like a few bucks, but I had good reviews or whatever. And I was like, I'm going to do it. I like a deck builder. Hence the reason we're playing Clank today.
Spoiler.
I meant to put that in our intro.
Yeah.
Be like, we're above the board of Clank. Just to like keep our theming going.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so it's a deck builder. It plays really fun. It's like a very basic RPG. I think that's kind of what I liked about it. The other big mobile deck builder I played is Slay the Spire. That's a
popular Yeah, I've one. Heard about that. I haven't played it.
It's really good, but I kind of played it to a point where unless I was doing the daily challenge, I didn't really care about it.
That's a bummer.
I mean, it was still good. I mean, it's like because I played it for 60 hours and then was like, meh. I'm still going to play it once a day.
Yeah, do your daily / weekly challenges.
Yeah. Even though I'd already played it to death. This new one I played a ton too. But it's kind of cool because it's like this like basic RPG of it's like, you've received a letter from the Guildmaster. And you like fight a bunch of wolves to get to town. And the Guildmaster's like, oh, there's evil bandits.
Yeah.
And you got to go kill the bandits. And then you're like, oh, there's an evil demon. So you go on a quest to like find the lost hero. And then you need to fight the demon. Spoiler, I killed the whole plot for you.
Jeez, sounds very Diablo-esque.
Yeah.
Plot-wise.
Yeah, it is. It's that kind of thing. And it's kind of cool. So it's like the scenarios, there's like a deck where three cards will come out. And sometimes it'll be like an NPC you can interact with to like upgrade your deck. Or it'll be like an opportunity card that'll like, if you don't do it now, it'll disappear. Sometimes it's like an ambush. Sometimes it's like you gain gold. And then there's like the enemies you need to fight along the way. And there's like all these little cool nuancey mechanics, like a card will come out and it'll be an enemy that has like an aura ability that enhances all the other ones. So it's like you want to fight that one first.
Yeah.
And so it even puts you in scenarios where you'll get to the boss of that level. And if you hadn't killed that guy, you're kind of stuck in the spot of like, oh, the boss is enhancing that guy, but that guy's enhancing the boss. Maybe I should have fought him sooner. And that's what's kind of cool about it is the more I play it, the more I picked up on all these nuances, because it being this relatively short plot,
yeah.
You like, after, you know, a dozen playthroughs, I say like, oh, 60 it's hours. Such a throwaway game, but I've wasted hours. So much time on this thing.
Listen, I'm not judging you, man. Because
that's how those mobile games get me, too.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
that's how they're supposed
I'll
to
just
get
play
you.
It for like 5 minutes, and I'm like, crap, I spent 30 minutes playing a game on my phone, and I'm not even done. But yeah, so you like learn all the dialogue trees, and there's like all these little nuancey things where it's like, oh, if you say this to this person, later, this other encounter, you get like a different option. And there's like 8 character classes to play as. And so each character class has, there's like 3 different types of mana to cast your cards or whatever. And so there's like a fighter who starts with 2 of the red magic, and then there's like a wizard with 2 of the blue magic, but then there's the knight who gets 1 red and 1 blue every turn. And as you play, you could even cross into other colors because you level up, you pick passive abilities, and one of them is like, gain a blue mana or whatever. And so that can make your wizard like have a ton of mana, or you could have your hunter go red, green, and blue. That affects the colors. Oh, and then there's like this fourth path where if you get like the divine blessing, you get a yellow mana and you can get holy cards. And then like as you do playthroughs, each character class gets experience, which unlocks new starting weapons and starting abilities that can guide like what are good deck choices as you go. And it's like, it's really fun because the different color combinations unlock different ways to build your deck. I don't know, it's all sorts of stuff. And the learning curve is really good.
Pretty cool, actually.
And it's just like $4 or $5 on the Play Store.
Yeah, I might have checked it out.
And it's just top quality.
I'm looking for like
mobile deck building RPG action.
Yeah, I'm looking for some new like iPad type games.
Yeah, and it is. It's very much like you can quit anytime because you're just doing like one encounter at a time. You don't quit anytime.
Yeah.
Until you like finish a whole run.
No, I get it, man.
Crap, that was 140
minutes. It's like, did I tell you about Grifflands on the Switch?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you can fight and choose violence to like solve encounters. But like the whole gimmick of it is like conversation, like, you know.
Yeah.
Making your point on something versus just like charging into battle with weapons.
You told me about that. I read a review, and just like any time where there's like dialogue, encounter paths, or whatever.
Yeah, it's like random cards.
Yeah.
So like you can be in an argument with someone, and all your options are like aggressive, like you're insulting the other person, but you want to take, you're wanting to do like a diplomatic thing because you don't have any weapons or armor. So you're just starting a fight with this dude, and you're like, crap, I got to like go through this, lose, and then come back and hopefully have a better hand. But anyway.
That's cool. I really want to play that.
I did also want to, one other quick thing, Neon White on Switch. If you ever get $25 in Nintendo Store credit, dude, you should download it. It is ridiculously fun.
I saw something on it. Like, what kind of game is it?
It's a card-based platformer. So essentially, you play as this assassin dude that gets hired by, well, hired. Like, you're competing in this annual thing that Heaven puts on for like lost souls to clear out Heaven of these devils that have like broken into Heaven's sanctuary. The way that you play is you have to collect these cards that have attack options like handgun, machine gun, sniper rifle, whatever. But each card can also be discarded out of your hand and it does a secondary option like lets you do a double jump, lets you do like ground pound move, stuff like that. Ooh. And each level is only designed to be ran within like a matter of seconds. Like they're not long at all. You have to clear out all the demons in a level.
Does it play in real time or do you have to like play cards?
No, it's real time. And so like you'd be running through a level and it's kind of got that like anime feel to it, like where, you know, you, everything's like quick paced, you know.
Sure.
You pick up like, say, and it's 3D too, it's not 2D. You pick up like a handgun card and then you see like two or three demons in front of you. You can shoot them and then jump and like double jump if you discard that card to like get over to the next part of the level.
So what I don't get is the discarding it.
One button uses the primary action of the card, like shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll tell you like how many times you can use that card. Or you can hit, pretty sure it's just the other shoulder button to discard it and immediately get rid of it. But like if you like say the assault rifle has like a grenade, like a bomb thing that you can use to like clear out a whole group of enemies, or you can use it to do like a grenade like jump.
Okay, so do you only get one card at a time?
Yeah. Okay. You get up to two and then your primary sword card. It's kind of hard to describe on paper, but like once you see it played out, it's actually, it makes sense.
Okay.
Because like when I read a review on it, I was like, that's weird. But then I had extra credit on the Switch and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna try it out. And dude, it's so, like, it's super addicting, and it's like one of those games where like I'm just gonna do one more level, because again, each level is like, if you do it right, like 10-15 seconds. A whole mission is like 10 levels, so you know, you're looking at most 2 minutes to finish a mission. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
But then if you want to go back to like better your time or like find collectibles, or
are they generated levels, or,
well, they're static. They each level is the same. So,
but
like
they're well designed. So
It's really cool. They have certain tiers of like, you know, goals that you want to hit as far as time goes. So if like you hit one goal that they set for you, then you unlock the ghost playthrough, so you see yourself. You hit the next one and it gives you like a level hint, so you can be running and be like, hey, if you go this way, you shave off, you know, however many seconds.
Oh, neat.
You do the next one, like you get like the next tier that you need to like level up, like the next not tier, but like currency, I guess you could say, to get like the top one. Like you can unlock other stuff too. It's just it's really good. That's only like $20. It's worth it, I think. There's a lot to it.
Sounds like it. That's pretty fun.
But yeah, man. So that's a lot we've been geeking on. Yeah. Did you see the Black Panther 2 trailer?
No, I haven't.
We got to watch it before I leave.
Okay.
It's so good.
Watch it together.
It's an emotional, it'll wreck you.
Okay.
But it's good. Cannot wait. November can't come fast enough.
Dude, I know, but that's like, I'm just like, Black Panther was so great in my opinion. I was like, I don't even see the trailer. I'm just going to.
Yeah,
gonna,
I mean, and that's fair.
I'm not going to be able to avoid it when I get some YouTube ad that shows clips of it anyways.
Yeah, no, totally fair. But like, this is because Comic-Con was this past week.
Yeah, I haven't filtered through as much news as I should have.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of stuff that came out.
I think that's what got me. There's too much news.
Too much. Yeah, I agree. But the Marvel panel was pretty great. A lot of cool stuff coming out of that. Kind of curious to see what else they're going to announce this year, if anything, because D23 is in like a month, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So,
do you think they got their Marvel stuff out at Comic-Con and D23 is going to just be other stuff?
Maybe. I don't know. I think it's funny. The big takeaway that I got from the Marvel panel was that they gave the Endgame, which I totally called it, the Secret Wars thing.
Yeah.
I was like, yes! I mean, it was obvious after Doctor Strange 2, so it's not that big of a ego boost for me, but I was like, I kind of know what I'm talking about. I got that. I called it. I said they're going to do Secret Wars as their big Endgame. And when Kevin Feige was like, Phase 6, it starts with Fantastic Four and ends with another doubleheader Avenger film.
Uh-huh.
One about Kang and then one about the Secret Wars storyline. At first, I thought that he was saying that that was only going to be Phase 6. Like, it was just going to be those three movies. I was like, that's weird. Like, each phase is like 15 movies at this point, or TV shows, you know? But then a lot of people were like, no, he said that, like, it starts here and it ends here so that people stop griping about, well, where are you going?
What's the phase?
Yeah. Like, what's the end goal for this saga, I guess?
Gotcha.
Point being is that they did that during Comic-Con. There's a lot of people speculating that during D23, if anything, they'll announce the mutant stuff. If they're not saving that for after the multiverse stuff, which they might be.
Interesting.
So
that's exciting. That's what we're geeking on.
It's so good.
Thanks for getting above the board with
me. Yeah, no problem, man.
Let's dig into this Clank.
Yeah, so where are we playing? What's this game? Tell us about it.
It's Clank! With an exclamation point. Hold on, we gotta take a quick break while we reset, and then we'll intro again.
Okay.
For part two.
Perfect.